This morning, as you can tell, we are doing communion. I know that came as a surprise to many people, as it came to me. I looked down at my calendar this week and went, I forgot. That's part of it, and I do that. But I want to spend a little bit of time before we do this morning. Do you understand what communion is? Do you understand the significance? Do you understand what Jesus was trying to say to us? It's the Lord's Supper, but it's not only the Lord's Supper, it was the Last Supper. Now you say, well, what's a big deal about the Last Supper? This was the final Passover meal. Passover came, remember when the Egyptians, when Israel was stuck in Egypt in slavery, and the Lord said, Moses, you tell him, I'm ending it. I'll kill all the firstborn. There has to be blood on the doorpost. Remember that? And they slayed land, and they put the blood above the doorpost of all the children of Israel, and the death angel passed right over them, took out all of the Egyptians' firstborns. Yeah, it was significant. So all these years, literally thousands of years, they had waited for the promise of a Messiah. Here, what we call Maundy Thursday, here, this night, is the Lord's Supper that Jesus institutes. It's the Last Supper, the final Passover meal of the Old Covenant. It's going to be done away with. It's going to be finished. Jesus has come to complete it. His upcoming death would make the end of the Passover. It wouldn't be. He is the perfect Passover lamb. He is the one that gave. He would bring fulfillment to the very hope for centuries, long centuries, that they had waited for a Passover celebration, that there would be no more lambs slain, there would be no more bulls, there would be none of those things, because Jesus would complete every bit of that. And the Messiah's sacrifice that he would perform would be a sacrifice not only for himself or for the Jewish people, but for the entire world, that he would sacrifice his life for the sins of everyone. That's what a Last Supper speaks to. That is why we commemorate this part of trying to understand what was Jesus talking about when we call it the Lord's Supper. Now, when I think about that, for some, it's what's the most important thing that Jesus ever did? What was the most important thing that he was responsible for? I can tell you this. Everything is so wondrous. Everything is so important. But the most important aspect of this, and you may not agree, but that's okay. You're not preaching. I am. His death. His death. You say, well, why would you think that? He made his death more important than his holiness. He made his death more important than his wisdom, than his power, than his miracles. He made it more important than even his teachings. This is what Jesus did himself. Not what Jim did, not what somebody thinks about it, but exactly what he did. In fact, he said to the world, so let the world forget about anything else. But never let them forget about my death. Never let them go past that. Why would that be that? Well, because at that very moment, the gates of hell would be shook so hard that the foundations and all about that thing, they could never forget. They could never, ever forget what price was paid to free them. All the prison doors that Satan has erected, all of them came off their hinges. The foundations were removed. Hell was in jeopardy of keeping anybody because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were thrown up wide open. It was done. Jesus knew that this is what was going to take place. And he said, if you can't remember anything, remember my death. Remember the sacrifice that was made. And how would he do that? You know, we have a beautiful building. People have suffered, have given so much to make our church what it is. Oh, it's not the elaborate first church in Waco. It's not all the things that the newer churches built, all the big stuff and all that. But that was never what Jesus had in mind. That wasn't what he was in mind about a building. That's a man deal. That's not a God deal. The God deal was this. He said, this is how I want you to remember. I want you to remember by eat and drink. We don't have a problem with that, do we? Baptists never have a problem with that. No, we're not serving chicken this morning for communion. He said, he made this very clear. These are the two immutable things that I want you to keep in mind all the time. This is the custom of the church. It's eating and it's drinking. He chose those two things because it's something that we do all the time. You got to eat. You got to have something to drink, right? And so when he picked this, he chose this thing for us. He says in Matthew's gospel in the 26th chapter, take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And I like what Luke would add in the 22nd chapter, in which I'm going to spend a little time with this morning, and I'll read that to you in a moment. But he makes this say, do this in remembrance of me. And you can never forget what the Apostle Paul would write. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. He testifies, this was a daily practice. All the time the early church did this because they never ever wanted to forget the sacrifice. The sacrifice that Jesus did. That's what the early church did. And that's why it's still important. And that's why we should continue to do this. And I love the ending of that, of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 26 makes that statement. But before I get to that statement, I'll read all of it to you. Start beginning back here at the 26th. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. This is Paul. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament of in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. You see how important it was? You see why I'm saying that his death was, he made it even greater than what we sometimes want to bring up all the time. Preachers preach his words, we preach what he, who he stood, how he's holy, all those things, and they're so important. But as oft as you eat, and oft as you drink, remember that this was sacrificed for each one of us. And this is a celebration. It's a celebration, yes, that it does look back, but it looks back in remembrance of Christ's finished work. It was a work that he did for us. He did it for everyone. Think about it. The early church, something, they had them right there. They remembered after the day of Pentecost. This is something very, very common that every time that they celebrated the Passover. Oh, it's not the Passover anymore. It's the new covenant. The new covenant was being celebrated. They're doing it. Ever since then, through the centuries, all of those believers that participated in this, we're right there with them. Oh, it was more than 12 apostles. It was more than 120 at the day of Pentecost. It was more than that. Through the centuries, they have come to this place and they celebrated together the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just that, but his ultimate coming back, his return. He says, this is my body, which was broken for you. This is what it represents. This is the bread that we will be partaking of here shortly. This is the bread. This is my body. This is a symbolism right here. And he's saying to us that, why? Well, look what happened to him. His body was broken by the blows that were delivered upon him. The lashes that he took. The beating that he took. The scourging. The crucifixion. His body was broken for each one of us. No wonder Paul could say that about himself. He said, I bear in the body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Paul had more stripes than Jesus did. Paul went through a lot more things, if you would regard it, outside of the crucifixion. They didn't do that to him. They just cut his head off. But he said, this bread that I'm giving you has been broken. It's my body. And I'm doing this for you. Then there's the wine. This is what is given. This is my blood. And it was poured out. It was spilt. It was given. Why was it doing that? Because this is the inauguration of the new covenant. I'm shedding my blood for you. I'm giving up everything for you. Why? Because I love you, and because this is the only way we will have forgiveness of sins. You can make up all the things that you want to make. You can join all the do-gooder clubs. You can do everything great that you want to. Man's been trying to do this forever to reconcile themselves. They cannot do it. Because it only comes through, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, no one comes to the Father but by me, because I made that sacrifice for the sins of all people, everyone. Not just the Jews, but all of us Gentiles that are in that part too. From the history of the world, Jesus said, I give my life. My friends, this is the Lord's Supper. This is communion. This is Eucharist. This is anything that you want to call it. I don't know whatever church you've ever grown up in. They have different terminology for this thing, but I always got to remember this part. His death, his sacrifice, paid for my redemption. And for that, I am very, very thankful. And I hope that you are too this morning. The Synoptic Gospels all wrote about it. Whether it was Matthew, Mark, or whether it was Luke, they all talk about this very part. They talk about the fellowship. We are that fellowship. We're the church. This is what God has given us. And what did he tell us to do? Come together. Don't miss. Come together. Come in fellowship. Build up your spirit in each other. Build up each other in him. Let the focus be upon Jesus Christ, which it will be today. But let us always come to this part together. This is what sustained the church. This is what's not happening a lot in our churches today. Tim Randolph recently, you know Tim, he's a regional director. He made the statement that 85% of the churches in America today are in decline. 85%. What have they done? They've lost the fellowship. They've lost what's important. They've lost the very significance of coming together. Where would you be one day? One day, we're going to get to the end of this world. I know I am. One of these days, God's going to be calling me in. Where would my family be without you? Where are you going to be unless there's going to be somebody there to lift you up? To lift up your family, to support you. Where are we going to be? How was that made possible? Well, it was made possible because Jesus died for us. It was made possible by his resurrection, by his ascension. But right now, he intercedes for me at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And it's because of his blood that was shed for me. Because his body was broken for me. For each one of us, this is what Jesus has done. So is communion important? Yeah, you better believe it's important. Why? Because you and I, especially me, I need a reminder. I need to be reminded. Because sometimes I lose focus. My world continues to spin. And it goes every which way and every direction. That's why I pray. I had a fantastic time. Wanda had a fantastic time the last 2 days. To hear another preacher that I have great confidence in sharing the Word of God, speaking to the needs of today. This is today, as it's been for centuries. Our fellowship, our love for each other, our greatest love to Him who sacrificed everything for us. So this morning, what happened to my workers? Where'd I lose my boys to today? Come out from wherever you are. Somebody grabbed them and took them off. I don't know where they thought. I guess they weren't going to be done this quick. Well, if I'm not in on that TV, I don't want them. And I'm not on the TV. I'm sorry, I'm not on TV. I have three great helpers. John is gone this week. Maybe they'll show up. Or I can start drafting. You ever see how many guys melt in their seats when I say things like that? Yeah. I mean, they almost go under the chairs. When I say that, it's like, not me. You're not going to call on me, are you? Please. Oh, here we go. I got two.
I don't know where Devin is.
Well, I don't either. You're going to help me? You're going to help. Great. Well, I don't know where he is either, but I was looking for them. Yes. You can have this. Just uno momento, por favor. Oh, here comes Devin right there.
Run, Devin. Undo
it. Okay. Lord. Did we enjoy communion in this house? You bet we do. We do. So John is going to come help. Great. See, John didn't hide underneath the chair like some of you. I won't call out your names while I'm thinking about it, but I won't. This morning, the importance of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me remind you one more thing. The Word talks about our relationship on a daily basis. Where we stand in Christ right now, you'll have opportunity to make something straight now. I'm giving you that opportunity. I'm going to pray for a moment. Is there something that you know in your own heart that you need to say, Lord, help me, forgive me? Do it. Do it. Does he love you? Sure, he loves you. That's why he's willing to hear you right at the last moment. But when you come to have communion, be reminded of what the sacrifice he made for you personally and how important it is that we're on an up-to-date basis with him, our love for him. And I remind us for our guest, this is your church also. We are not exclusive people. We're not going to sit there and say, oh, no, you can't. No, I say you can. You know Christ is your personal Savior. This communion is for you. And I want you to come and celebrate it with us this morning. Let's pray.